Good evening, everyone. Welcome to tonight's meeting. Today is Thursday, May 12th, 2016. Tonight is normally for, and it's going to be for, organizing across the nation specifically. And so the district, federal district leaders are to be organizing on Thursdays, talking about different things and plans that we need to do. Every year around this time, usually in the springtime, we hear something. Last year, we heard on a couple occasions, what was that that military thing? What was the name of that thing last year?
Jade Helm.
Jade Helm, yeah. We heard about Jade Helm numerous times, and they kept shifting the dates. We did a lot of things to try to, kind of throw it off. And I think we succeeded, along with other people trying to do things to expose what was really going on there. There is a claim that they did achieve some understanding by doing some things, whatever it is that they have up their sleeve. They got a lot of things up their sleeve. But look at, the enemy, in order to take us down, the enemy has to prevent us from communicating, prevent us from organizing, and preventing us from being prepared. And that's the key to defeating your enemy. You want to demoralize them in every way that you can, and that's what they're doing. This year is no different. We again hear that the big date this year is August. Sometime in August, I heard that, and again, I'm not giving a lot to it, this particular thing that I'm talking about. I'm not giving a lot to it. It's going to happen when it's going to happen, if it ever happens, because there is a possibility it may not happen. It's all up to the people in this room today and the people that will hear this message and do what has to be done. It's all up to the people. If the people want to go through hard times and try to organize and do what they have to do when hard times come, it's going to be a real difficult thing to do. We may not be able to achieve that at that time period. But now that there is, we've kind of lulled ourselves back to sleep to a degree. I mean, look, we at National Liberty Alliance have been working diligently 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to do those things that are necessary to try to take our nation back. And it's a slow-moving process, the tortoise and the hare kind of thing. We're moving slowly but surely, standing on principles, and not necessarily doing the expedient thing. Sometimes the expedient thing can be done if all principles in order to do it are met. But this year, like I said, is no different than any year. The big destruction is coming. It's going to happen in August, and I've heard a few little things. The big thing I heard, of course, is going to be the economy. That's how they're going to take us down. All they have to do is pull that monetary plug, and it is over. Everything falls apart. Everything. Probably 25% or more of the people of the United States will be dead within the first 3 months. Just from not being able to survive, not getting water, not getting food, not preparing themselves in any way. And people are going to be leaving the cities in droves, and we have to recognize and realize that. But the big date now is in August sometime. I don't have a specific date, and I really don't care about a specific date. I don't think any of us should. I think all of us should look at, they're going to do what they got to do, and what they're going to do is imminent right now. It could happen tomorrow. It could be happening tonight as we're talking. You wake up tomorrow, the banks will be closed, and who knows what could happen. I don't think that that's going to happen, but it's coming. There's no doubt. That day is coming unless we can cut it off. There is a possibility of cutting this off. So we have to prepare. So, again, August is the big date. Now, the reason I threw out this emergency call tonight, okay, because I wanted to get as many people as possible. Listen, we have become complacent. Even though we're working, we still have become complacent. We're not working as hard and as fast as we should be working with a sense of urgency. We, the people, need to start working with a sense of urgency. One thing I do believe, whatever's going to happen is going to happen in 2016. I'm convinced of that. And I say that only because of sort of reading the tea leaves, so to speak, looking out there to see what's happening, seeing what's been happening over the past years. We've seen the call going down. It's going to happen this year. 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 Probably since 2000. I mean, with the computer crisis and all that other stuff that they were concerned about. But in the past 5 or 6 years, it's been really, really ramped up. I am totally surprised that we're still actually surviving and working and going forward as if everything is normal. We look out there and we get a sense of normalcy. We see that it appears to be normal and, you know, maybe nothing's really happened. So we're not really moving with the sense of urgency. I want to try to convince the people to tell them and to move them with a sense of urgency. We have an urgent situation. Now, we picked up on the Committee of Safety. We launched that this particular week. We've got a page up there on the top bar on the right-hand side. If you go click on our website, nationallibertyalliance.org, and you can click on Committee of Safety. I've noticed that page because I go up there often because I've been uploading a lot of stuff. We've got a lot of stuff up there right now, and we're going to have more and more information, more details, more planning. And we're asking people who have great ideas that want to write a one-page paper. You know, what would you propose to the people in your town that you think really needs to be done? What would you propose? And give us sort of an outline of a plan of executing that kind of an idea, whatever that might be. And, of course, we need to look at survival. First order of business is water, food, and shelter. That's first order of business. Okay, and then other things come after that. But you have to have water, you have to have food, and you have to have shelter. And we have to prepare for this. When the things start falling apart, that's what we're going to lose. We're not going to have the food and the water, and shelter is going to become a problem too. We're not going to have electricity unless some people who are preparing for it to that level will have some electricity. But we can get some things done. I do believe that this is the year, one way or the other, things are going to happen. But I also believe, you know, it's been up in the air. Can we win? Can we not win? You know, what's going on? I hear a lot of good things, and then I hear some bad things, and who really knows what the consequences are going to be of where we're going, you know, and the end results of these things. What are we going to be left with at the end of all this destruction and chaos? Hang on one second. Okay. You know, we want to be prepared. Now, I want to tell you something. It's a flip of the coin, in my opinion. If they pull the trigger before we can accomplish our goal in the courts, if they do it before that, it's a flip of the coin. Okay? A lot of blood, a lot of problems. If we get into the courts before they do it, boy, the chances of our survival and succeeding rises tremendously. But I want to tell you something, and just think about this. This Committee of Safety thing that we discovered, I'm becoming more and more of a believer in it and an understanding of it. I'm going to initiate that in my county. I'm going to start talking with people, as a matter of fact, tomorrow, in my county, to start preparing for this, get a special meeting going, and start executing this idea. But I believe, no doubt in my mind, no doubt in my heart, that if people follow the basic ideas, they do whatever they got to do, but we got lots of ideas we've thrown out there. A lot of people that have a lot of ideas. And the general idea of preparing with all of the people in our community, especially the sheriff and the fire chief and town board members and different people of other places of that type, you know, people that are in office. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute, you know, getting them involved. But the key thing, of course, is getting the general public, the people involved. You know, we have to have a water source. We have to have a food source. We have to know what's available in our county when the emergency comes. You know, how can we move things around? You know, the county next door may have a lot of beef, and this county here may have a lot of corn. Another county may have a lot of tomatoes or apples, or whatever the case may be, you know, whatever the resources of that county is, okay? We need to be able to trade at least locally between the counties and even from state to state along the state lines. We need to be moving things and being able to do things. We cannot obviously rest in the enemy of the people who have taken control of our government, because they're going to bring military in, they're going to bring in martial law, they're going to bring in curfews, they're going to take our food, they're going to shut us off from moving around the streets, they're going to cut off our communications. It's going to be total chaos and destruction, and it's going to be an uphill battle every step of the way. unless we prepare now and we're ready for it and we're able to just say no to FEMA, just say no to any federal agency that comes in to try to take over our county, to try to seize our resources. No, those resources belong to us. We need the sheriff on board for this. And the best way to get the sheriff on board is to invite him to the Committee of Safety meetings. Get him involved. Let him be involved in his expertise. What does he have to give back to the community in the times of an emergency? Let's get him to write up what his plan is, or we'll write up for him what we think his plan might be and let him kind of shake it up a little bit and figure out whatever that plan is for him. Of course, he's the guy that's to maintain order, law and order. You know, so look at if we, and right now we have quite a few people in the room. I mean, if everyone in this room tomorrow were to start getting ready the Committee of Safety in their counties. Within one day, we literally will have the initiation of about 140 Committee of Safeties. That's a great start. And what is extremely important with this Committee of Safety, okay, is to get going a Committee of Correspondence as soon as possible. The Committee of Correspondence is that part that helps us to multiply. It starts to talk with the county next door, getting, if they don't have a Committee of Safety, why don't you? Look what we're doing. You should be preparing. You know things are coming down. You know things are going to get hardcore. Let's get ready. Where are you going to get your food and water from? You know, what's going to happen? You know, we have to make sure that we address every town in our county. And I'll give you an example. Just go get the county map or just put out your county in your state county, how many towns and list of towns and cities in your county. Every Committee of Safety should do that. Just Google it and you'll get a list of towns and cities. Most counties have maybe at best one city, and many counties don't have any cities. Dutchess County, where I'm at, we got two cities. They're B cities. You know, they're not like New York City, but they're B cities. But we're not too far from New York City, and we have to make a very special plan here up in upstate New York. We have to concern ourselves from Putnam County and Dutchess County and Ulster County and Orange County and Columbia County and Greene County, all these southern counties that are just above New York City, Westchester County, all these counties just above New York City. In emergency, we're going to get a huge influx of people coming from the city. And we don't want violence. We don't want people coming in pillaging and destroying things to get food and water. We want to be prepared to receive them. We have to have a plan, and the sheriff needs to understand and make a plan on how we're going to receive these people, because we're going to have to help them. They need to get out of the city. They're not going to be able to survive in the city. So, you know, so anybody that's near a large city, Philadelphia, New York City, Los Angeles, anybody that's near a large city has to make certain special plans. And the counties that will really take the brunt of the people coming up, which will be surrounding the cities, they have to think about this and how they're going to help these people. You know, they're going to have to open up places, schools or town buildings, halls, town halls, some places where people can be housed and make a plan for food and water. We have to plan right now as if we have the greatest disaster that has ever hit America. And we do this through the Committees of Safety. Look at FEMA has a plan, and the government has all kinds of plans. Even our towns have a plan, but they all connect to FEMA. They all connect to the federal government and their Homeland Security. They all connect to that. We don't want Homeland Security or FEMA controlling our emergency situation, because that really is a coup. And we need to understand that. We know that. We need to appreciate that. And understand that. So we need to make sure that our sheriffs understand that we, the people, we will take care of ourselves. Why are we going to go home and sit down and wait for the federal government to take care of us? What makes us think that we're going to be sent home? You can't be in the streets. What the heck's going on here? Of course, they want to get us into these camps. They want to move the populations and break up the families and cause chaos and get distress and so on. And the end results with all the bloodshed that'll happen, will the people will be willing to do anything just to stop it, because that's how they take over. They create so much chaos and so much destruction and so much death and pain and suffering. The people are ready to accept anyone that comes up with the solution. And you know they got the solution at the right time to come up in whatever communities or areas to get things, people under control. we that that's how they work. Well, we're Americans. We do things differently. We are independent. We do have resources within our counties. We originally were created in such a way, as far as our structural government is concerned, by committees of safety. It was committees of safety that saved the colonies. It was the committees of safety that bound the people together. It was the committees of safety that prepared the people and enabled the people to communicate and organize and do what had to be done to get the revolution going and get back up on our feet with a government. It was the committees of safeties that prepared and got together the ruling bodies that we had prior to the election of George Washington, when finally the Constitution was put in place. It was the Federalist Papers, or the Federalist conversations and communications that were taking place and preparing for, you know, the Constitution. It took 10 years. And I understand that there were 10 presidents, one every year, elected. And this was all done through the communities working together with delegates on their own because government on itself had failed. But they did work with local government that already existed. Look at, we have local government that already exists. We just got to straighten them up and bring them onto the right path. We have town boards. We have fire departments. We have a sheriff. We have all everything necessary. We got to let them know what's going on. Let them know we, the people, have a committee of safety. Give them the authority. Talk with authority. Act with authority and demand with authority. Come with resolutions of authority. Put our seal on it. Every committee of safety should have a seal. Seals impress people. Let's use a seal. You know, make your paperwork nice and a nice letterhead. We put a proposed letterhead up there. We put a proposed seal up there. Let's do what has to be done. If we prepare right now, we can create a committee of safety in every single county of America before the end of 2016. I'm convinced of that, but only if we become diligent. Only if we decide that we, the people, are going to take control of our own destiny. We're going to protect and preserve liberty. We're going to maintain our government structure as it is. We're just going to get rid of all the criminals that have gotten control of our of the helm, so to speak. But we want to preserve for ourselves and our posterity. We want to be independent. We don't need someone coming here to help us survive. We will survive ourselves. We as in the communities will work together. So going back to the county and the town thing, you know, counting your towns, and I'll write a paper on this one here, you know, basic idea, and people can do what they want with it. But we need to organize. We need to prepare. And if we don't prepare now, tomorrow's too late. Don't put this off till next week. Don't put this off till next month. That may be too late. We have a state of emergency right now. We have to stop this idea of complacency. We look around and we see some normalcy and we think, we got a little more time. We don't have no more time. Time is up. We're at the end of the game. It's over. They can only hold this economy and monetary system up so long. They can't hold it up for quite some time. They could probably go a couple more years easily, but they know that the people are waking up. They're being forced into a corner. It's a trapped rat in a corner is what it is. And at some point, it's going to come out and bite us. And that's where we're at. They're ready to come out and bite us because they know the tipping point of the people moving and doing things and making the decisions for themselves, the tipping point of understanding the evil that's going on within our country, that tipping point is so close. Robert, you have to mute yourself because you're coming through. 269. So, look, we are so close to that tipping point. They're going to pull the plug soon. The question is, can we accomplish it before they pull the plug? That's the question. Are we going to accomplish it? Are we the people going to save America or not? We have to take this with great, great diligence. We have to get moving on this. We got to get running on this. And I would like to see by next Monday 140 counties telling me we started the plan. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask every week what counties in here started to initiate their plan. Let's get them into the queue. I want to hear Dutchess County of New York, Orange County of California. I want to start hearing this. Now, I spoke with Carl. Carl is our tech guy for our website, and I spoke with him about putting together a Committee of Safety registry. Okay, so every Committee of Safety that creates it, that gets going, they can put the information, there'll be a form, they can click on the form, and they can register. They can register with just basic information. We're looking for their state, their county, a contact name, John, Joe, Mary, Fred, Elizabeth, just first name, nothing more, and a contact phone number. No emails, because when we put emails up, you'll start to get thousands of emails. They have, you know, that's the problem that you get. They have these crawlers out there that reap up all of emails, and then you start getting a lot of junk mail, and they sell you email. I'm sure everybody knows about that. But anyway, look, my phone number has been up online for, goodness, 8 or 10 years, and I have never had a problem. I've got one or two people that have called me, and, you know, and it drove me for an hour or two on the phone and taken me, you know, in different places and, you know, conversations that I really, you know, wasn't interested in getting into. But that's rare. Two conversations. So I'm polite. I'm nice. I listen. I talk. And I move on. But I haven't had any problems with my phone number up there ever. So people shouldn't be afraid to put their phone number up there. But we need to save America. We need the people to be able to contact us. So anybody who starts a committee of safety should put themselves up on the registry. Or you may find that two or three committees of safety are starting to develop within your county. And then that could develop a problem. You know, people can get lost in ego or something or whatever. So look it. If there's a committee of safety, we're going to tell the people to get a committee of safety going. First thing they should do is check the registry. See if there's a committee of safety already started. If there is, work with them and get into the game. There will be board members, specific board members that really are the movers and shakers. You know, there's generally a chairman, there's a co-chairman, there's a secretary, and there's a treasurer. And there may be some other positions that people might want to think about. Well, there's also, committees, okay, certain committees like the fire committee or the sheriff's committee or something else, whatever they got going there. And obviously, the fire chief should be involved in that. They should be running that, and the sheriff should be running whatever they're doing. You know, however people work it out, I don't know. People will figure that out. When people have good ideas and they're doing something in a particular way, they might want to share it. They write a one-page paper, give it to us, we'll post it, and people have more ideas of different ways and different things to do. Oh, that's a better way to do it than what we were considering doing. We figure this out by talking. But anyway, we need to start organizing, and we need to start organizing now. We are out of time, and that's why I call this as an emergency tonight, that we need to get focused and moving. Now, as I was saying, Committee of Correspondence is extremely important to get that started. But the very first thing is you got to get people. And look, just because you're starting it and initiating it doesn't mean you have to play a major role in the sense of taking the chair or being a treasurer or a secretary or any of those things. Maybe you don't have the time for that. Just let's get it started. There'll be people who will take those positions and we'll vote them in anyway. Everybody will vote in. Say, yeah, let him be the chair. Yeah, let him be the co-chair, whatever. But the key thing about this is we're not going to become them. It seems that when you have the political process that we have going these days, what they have done is they've taken over by creating more power and authority in a chairman than they should have. Look, the chairman is just the guy with the gavel that tells everybody, okay, you know, this person's turn. Okay, you had enough. You've had 2 minutes. This person would like to have 2 minutes. Just moving things along and let people have as much time as they want and need to discuss what they have to do, within reason, of course. And if someone has a great idea, hey, put it in writing. Let's look at it. We'll consider it. We'll take it to the whole group at that point to see if we want to initiate whatever it is. But the point is this. The chair is not king. The chair is not God. They don't have any extra power, any extra vote. It's just the person that's got the gavel. The secretary is no more important than anyone else. They're just the person that organizes all the paperwork and keeps things going and so on that level. The treasurer is no more important than anyone else. They just have to collect and keep the whatever funds are coming in, give a report, and be ready to purchase whatever the necessities, which is bare minimum, to keep the Committee of Safety going and doing whatever it has to do. Okay, so these things we have to prepare for, but you can get rid of any of those positions at any given time. Someone can think there's a problem with the chairman or something for whatever reason, I don't know, think of a reason, and they can move the committee at any time. Look, we got a problem. I don't think Joe should be the committee chairman. We're having some problems here. I move the board to take a vote to get rid of Joe. And someone steps up and says, I second that and I third that. And now you take a vote. We'll vote. They vote Joe out, and they vote Mary in, whatever. They propose someone else. it's no more importance, because that's where we lose control and power and authority, is by giving too much to one person, and nobody deserves any more power or authority in these meetings than anyone else. It has to be done democratically, and it has to be done with a sense of honor, justice, and mercy to maintain the proper structure for whatever it is that we need to do within our committees of safety. But let's go back to correspondence, the Committee of Correspondence. They've got such an important role, and that committee has to be, it's a subcommittee to the Committee of Safety. It's part of the Committee of Safety. It's just a small group of people, one, two, three, four people, whatever the case may be, whose job it is to communicate and correspond with not only the people within the community that you're in, but with every town, with every city within your county, and to communicate with the counties next door to make sure, hey, you know, you guys need to do something too, and let's figure out what resources you have and what trade we can do when emergencies come. You know, we got this and you got that, you know. So that's what has to be done. Now, if you go up and you Google, as I said, in your county, you know, towns, or a list of all the towns and cities in your county, you'll get a list of all the towns and cities. Dutchess County, if I recall when I did that, has 19 towns and two cities. So 21 communities, ultimately. And of course, within towns, you have little villages and different things. But it's a town. You deal with it as a town. You want to go out. The Committee of Safety wants to get out there, and all the members should be working on this to help, of course. You want to try to get someone from every one of these towns into your Committee of Safety. So each town has a representation. This is how our founding fathers did it. This is how they organized. This is how they accomplished their goals. So you want to get someone in each town. You know, each town has their own fire department. Let's get the chief or a representative. If the chief can't make it, that's fine. Let's get him involved and make sure that once a month they send a representative. There should be a monthly meeting where, you know, you're pulling everyone together. And right now, because we need to move things quickly and everything, there needs to be a weekly meeting. And the people more involved will be at the weekly meeting, and the people who can't be involved as much will be at the monthly meeting. But the key thing is we want the sheriff to come at the monthly meeting. We want the fire chiefs or some representative of the fire chief or some representative of the sheriff's department, maybe his lieutenant, his under-sheriff, whatever they call him. You know, they need to be at this meeting. They need to understand the importance. We need to do resolutions. We all have to agree. The sheriff needs to know what he needs to do. The fire chiefs need to know what they do. You know, they're involved with a lot of communications and emergency services. So, you know, we want them in. Every committee should be going out, and we wrote some of this up already, but every committee should be going out and looking for someone that has a ham radio system already up and running. These people are into preparedness. So they're all ready to rock and roll. They'll jump right into this thing in a heartbeat. Every liberty group within your county, okay, they will jump into this in a heartbeat. I know that they're frustrated everywhere. They're so frustrated they're actually out there playing politics and trying to get stupid people elected, thinking that that's going to change the game, and it ain't going to change nothing. Only the people are going to change that game. So we have to do what we have to do, and we have to prepare, and we have to organize. So Carl will set up the registry. I'm going to push Carl. I started pushing him today by getting this page up as soon as possible. Jan, I want you to connect with Linda. I had a conversation with Linda today concerning list of different things that need to be done. You need to deliver to her all the information you have concerning the federal district leaders. The federal district leaders need to really dig down deep in their community, start looking at their state coordinators and looking into even the county organizers, and start pushing these committee of safeties. You have to be doing this on a daily basis. You need to be making phone calls. Forget sending an email. Make a phone call. That's where action will happen. There will not be action on a stupid email. Forget about the email. Email backs up things. Hey, I'll send you something in an email, but you're already talking on the phone. Okay? Get connected on Skype. But get all the information that I need. Keep it updated on a weekly basis. Gary, you need to be working with Linda. I want to set up a certification system for people who have taken our courses. So we want to send out a certificate of completion to these people. And I think what we're going to do, because we need money, and we'll always need money, okay? And if everybody just threw $5 or $10 a month or more, believe me, we'd have all the money we need. But everybody doesn't do that, so we only get a few people who do that. But it's been enough to carry us. But our bills are getting bigger, and we need more $5, and we need more $10. So please, if you're not giving, let's get giving, please. $5 a month or more. Some people mail in a check or a money order. Some people actually stick cash in an envelope and wrap it up in tinfoil or paper. But most people go out there and click on the link to do something on a monthly basis through their credit card or debit card. So however you want to do it, do it. But right now, anybody that can give an extra few bucks this month to help us catch up, because we still are not caught up with last month's bills. We are behind. And because we've been doing so many things and we've acted in faith to send out mail to do what has to be done, and it injured us not getting the bills paid up. So we have bills that need to be paid. So please, anybody can afford an extra 10 bucks or 20 bucks, and especially those who can really, who got the money, be able to, that, you know, 50 bucks or 100 bucks isn't a big thing to them, that they can afford to throw it out here or there from time to time. Please send that, because we really need it. And of course, if there's anyone out there, 500 or 1,000, you know, that would be so helpful. But the 5 bucks is really the grassroots. The 5 bucks, if we're supported by 5 bucks a month by everybody, that shows us that we're doing the right thing. It's true grassroots support. And that's really what has been carrying us, by the way, is that $5 a month. But we don't get enough. We do get those who give 10, 50, 20, and even some people give $100 a month. So I'm very thankful. We're all thankful for that. But let's do what we got to do. We also have to include board members, town board members. You know, you want to go to the town board, introduce yourself, let them know what you're doing. You're doing emergency preparedness. Oh, but we already got, FEMA. Like, no, we're doing something with the people. We'd like to get you involved. And if you want to know why don't you come to our next meeting? We'll talk about it. Or we'll talk about it here. Can we have the time to have that conversation right here? We have a bunch of people with us, and we can explain to you why we, the people, need to take care of our own business. We don't want to be owing to the federal government. We don't want to be told by the federal government what we have to do. We, the people, know what's in our county. We don't want the federal government to come in and take our resources and divide it however they think it has to be done. No, we know how it has to be divided within our society, within our social networks here, within our county and our sister counties. We know what needs to be done. We know that there's a lot of cattle up in this county, or there's a lot of corn up in that county. And we can all work that out, because this is a people thing. In times of trouble, we're not going to be sitting home or going, being sent to some FEMA camp to sit there. We want to be in control inside our own towns. We want to keep the water moving if you have town water. We want to keep the water going. We want to keep the electricity going. We want to work. And look at, you know, every county needs to work on that idea. You know, we need to get in touch with the electric company, see what's going on, how things work with that. I don't even know how things work particularly. But, you know, in times of trouble, we want to make sure the electric doesn't go down. And if it has to go down, you know, then there needs to be, well, we need to know that the electric's going to turn on at 7 o'clock in the morning, and it's going to be on until 10, and it's going to shut down until 5 o'clock in the evening, dinner time or whatever, and it's going to run till 8 o'clock, and it's going to shut down again or whatever. Whatever plan it takes to give us electricity to in order to survive and to continue going. We can charge our batteries. We can have generators for in between times when we need something going, or whatever the case may be. But preparedness it is. Woe is us if we do not prepare, and we do not prepare now. We better not be caught unprepared. We need to prepare now for an emergency. And I promise you, there's no doubt about it in my mind or my heart, if we prepare and get most of the counties of America preparing, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that the New World Order can throw at us that we won't be able to deal with and defeat. Absolutely nothing. The only way they can achieve what their goal is to divide us, having us sit and dependent upon the federal government. That's the only way. If we're not dependent upon them, we have food, we have water, we have some electricity, we have unity, we have a doctor if we need a doctor, we have a dentist if we need a dentist. All these things that we know that we need in the community. We have our sheriff to call in the posse comitatus, which ultimately is, you know, the militia. You know, the definition of the militia is there's a few definitions out there. The latest that I've seen in code is everybody above between 18 and 45 is the militia. okay, unless they're not an able body. I think they use the word every able body. So everybody between the 18 and 10 and 45. You know, in Benjamin Franklin's day, it was much younger than that. I don't know if I recall. I think it was somewhere around 12 or something. But 12 people, 12 in those days were much more mature than people 12 today, because we keep them, you know, very childish, and they're not living in a hard life. They're playing, and they have toys, and they're doing things, and they're not worried about problems. But you know, back then it was a lot different. Farming had to be done. Survival of the family required everybody's participation, and that's the way it has been until modern days. So, but anyway, we need this preparedness, and we need to do it now. Getting back to Gary and Linda, I want to get a list of all, and this is going to be a way to make a few bucks also to throw into the kitty here. We're going to offer certificates of completion. And by the way, anybody who wants to be an administrator for the common law grand and trial jury, they have to have this certificate. They need to have completed the course. Of course, if they're really down and out and they just have no money, we're not going to charge them. We'll get it for free. But we're going to ask $10 donation, and they will send that $10 with an address to our address, which you'll find on our website. If you click on the donation page on the top right side and you scroll all the way down, you'll see an address there, and it's in Hyde Park, New York. So anybody who has completed these two courses, they send us your name and your email address that you use to sign up. That'll identify who you are, that we can check to make sure you complete both these courses. And so you send us just a short letter, one piece of paper saying, "Hey, I'd like to get a certificate," and include $10 in there. It could be money order, check, cash, whatever. Put that into an envelope and give us your information and where to mail this to. And then we will mail out a certificate. We'll make a nice certificate with a seal on it and everything. I'll start working on that this week to get something really fancy and nice to look like a really nice certificate that you might even want to put up on a wall. But it'll be a certificate of completion, ultimately for completing the two courses that we put up there, the civics course and also the constitutional course. We have a handbook we're working on. I think everybody knows that. And all administrators will get a copy of the handbook, and it's how things work and what to do here and how to do there and how to write this. And, you know, all these just little things that you need to know. Of course, you know, people may come up with better ideas to do some of these things. They're free to do whatever they want, because that's what we are. We're free people. And if you got something that's much better than what we've laid out there, you want to share it with us, and we'll share it with others, and they too may have something better if they want to make a change over to that kind of a thing. Again, I just want to finally cap this up with saying we need to get a hold of the movers and shakers of the people that are running our local government. We need to get them involved. It starts off with we, the people, getting together and starting to make a plan and pulling people together and getting these people in, getting people in every county, in every town. And remember, once you have people in every town and you got a good organization and you go and visit a town to get them on board, you come in with force. And you introduce yourself and you be humble and polite and nice and, "Oh, well, we haven't got time to give you all this time this week." "Well, when can we get together with the board? I mean, you know, can we do this next week? Does Wednesday work for you guys at 7 o'clock, or is Thursday better?" You know, get that meeting with them to come in just to discuss. Go to them just to discuss the emergency plan that you have. And they can start talking about how things are already worked out with the federal government. We do not want to be dependent upon no one. We are Americans. We're free. And we want our liberty, and we're going to keep our liberty, and we're going to maintain our liberty, and we will take care of our business. We don't need a handout. We don't need the feds. We need we, the people in our community. The community, people in the community know what has to be done. We'll have doctors, we'll have dentists, we'll have carpenters, we'll have people who work for the electric company, and we'll have all the people we need, okay? And we'll do it. So that's why this meeting was called, because we do have a state of emergency. We are at a time, and now is the time to act. And if you fail to act today, tomorrow will be too late. And I'm hoping that Monday I'm going to get a lot of people getting in that queue telling me, Yeah, we're in such and such a state and such and such a county, and we initiated it, and we started talking to our sister county, and we already got this going and that. I want call after call on that. That's what I want to know about on Monday. And Thursday we're going to plan some more. We're going to put more specifics and details and different things and ideas. And remember, to sell this whole program, and it's a seller in my opinion, just go to the Committee of Safety page and play that video. Get people to watch that video. Get them to see what they can do, what the possibilities are, okay? And download it. Right on this page, you can download a WMV. Put it on your laptop. Someone in your group has a laptop. Get meetings locally in your counties and invite as many people as you can. Go to a Liberty Group meetings. Find out if they have a setup with a projector, a digital projector, and a canvas. Or why don't we do it in a library nearby, or whatever? Because they usually have that. And plug in and play the video. It's 23 minutes long, and let me tell you, it's full of stuff that sells it without a doubt. It's 23 minutes. Get the people to listen and watch, and then start signing them up. What are we going to do in our county? Oh, you're in the county next door? Well, hey, let's see what we can do about helping you to get one started over there. Let's get this going. All right, that's pretty much all I have to say. I don't know if any of the other leaders might want to pipe in and give some thoughts and ideas, so I'll pause for a minute for that, and if not, we'll go to some questions, and hopefully we're going to get ideas. We're going to stay focused. We're not going to talk about cases. We're going to talk about the Committee of Safety. And let me tell you another thing. We want to start a campaign to talk with our sheriffs. Now, we're working on a PowerPoint video for the sheriffs also, which we're going to try to keep under a half hour also. But if you go up to our Committee of Safety right now, you will find a paper up there, which I just put up there. We've had different papers, but this has consolidated a lot of stuff. And if you come down to the second list, it's Committee of Safety documents, and you click on power and the authority of the county sheriff. It's 35 pages. Get that to your county sheriff. Make an appointment. Get him a copy of that. And tell him, look, I'd like to have an appointment to talk with you, but what I want to talk about is really your power and your authority and the obedience of law in our county. And I'd like to drop off in your office, print it out, 35 pages. I'd like to drop off or drop in the mail to you a paper that you should read, and when we get together, that's what we're going to talk about. And so prep the meeting by getting a copy of this paper. Bring a copy of the WMV, which is the Windows Media video. Okay, bring a copy of that. Look it. Take a USB, get a little USB thumb drive. You can buy them in Staples, dirt cheap, a couple of gigs for $5 or something. And get a few of those. And each one of those, put on the video on, all the videos we have, put on all these documents, and then write a little note in there that, read this first, which gives them the information, our website, your information, contact, blah, 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 and so on and so forth. And when you're at the meeting, give that thumb drive to the sheriff. Say, hey, look, we got a lot of great documents for you to really come to understand your position, your power, your authority, what you need to be doing. And that most sheriffs don't know, and you apparently don't know. Or maybe you do, maybe you're doing it, but we want to make sure that the law is being, that people are being obedient to the law specifically. And, sheriffs need to understand more than any of them. They're not there to protect the judge. They're not there, they're the ones who are supposed to be, in the courts. Their deputies are supposed to be the bailiffs in the court. It's supposed to be controlled by the sheriff. And they're not there to protect the judge, although, of course, they will if they had to. They're not there for that purpose. They're not there to serve the judge. They are there to protect the people. They are there to serve the people. They are there to make sure that the people get due process. They are there to make sure that when the FBI or some other alphabet soup comes into your neighborhood, that county, that, hey, you better knock on my door. Let me know what you're planning to do, IRS or Department of whatever, okay? You want to go raid somebody or serve some paper. I want to know about it before you come into my county. I want to see the paper. I want to see the sworn affidavit. I want to see the signed wedding signature from a judge, and I want to be present. And we're not going in there. Unless this person is really a hardened core criminal, we're not going in there with SWAT team. We're going to knock on the door. We're going to talk to the person, and you're going to deal with it however you want to serve them. Okay? We're going to stop police brutality. That's the biggest thing we need to talk with our sheriffs about. There's too much police brutality going on, and some of it is coming from the sheriff's office. This has got to stop. We're not going to tolerate this no more. We the people have had enough. And you're one of we the people. We expect you to do your duty. And if you don't know and understand the authority and the law and when someone's due process is being violated, and if you can't recognize that, you have two choices. Either you learn it, and I'll do everything I can to help you. We got everything here. Go to nationallibertyalliance.org and learn about it, or resign your position. That's your two choices. Or face the wrath of the people, because we are, and again, we want to do this kindly and gently, but this is a conversation only if you feel you have to have, because you will get some sheriffs who will be resistant. And you let them know with no uncertain terms. You got those two choices, and if you don't, we the people will eventually come out after you with an indictment. We will pursue it, and we'll pursue you and remove you from office ourselves. But of course, we don't want to come in that way. That's just on the occasional thing, it's going to happen. It's just going to happen. Okay, with that, let me move over to any other leader that might want to pipe in here. Gerard, Jan, Robert, anybody. Mic is yours, and then we'll take some callers off the queue.
I just had one question. On your new spreadsheet, the contact, that would be the local area person that's setting up the Committee of Safety? Is that who you want for contact?
Now, you're talking about the contact sheet that Linda's working out with
right.
you, correct?
Right.
Those are the district leaders. And
okay.
They need to get together. And it doesn't have to, it could be a state coordinator that takes on that to say, yeah, I'll put my name and number up there. Could be anybody within their state. It doesn't matter. Just as long as they're communicating, meeting, and talking, okay, then that's okay. But generally, it should be the federal district leader's first name and phone number. That's it. And okay. and that person, whoever that federal district leader is, let's take New York. We have four federal districts, so all four of those federal district leaders should be talking and communicating and knowing the right hand needs to know what the left hand's doing. We are one state, so all four of them should be talking. Also, all the state coordinators should be talking. They're all leaders. They need to be involved. And even county organizers or just anybody, just get involved in your state. Organize the state. And this organizing is really taking place really within and for National Liberty Alliance for us to develop the counties. But we also want to push the Committee of Safeties. And every one of these state coordinators, every one of these federal district leaders, members, county organizers, it doesn't matter who or what you are, you should be organizing a Committee of Safety in your county and get it going. Even if you don't take a major role play in it, just get it going, and people will step up and take those major role positions. So don't worry about that. You don't have to commit to being a very heavy leader in that area. I'm certainly not. I'm just going to be a participant, and I'll go every meeting. But my big role is right here, what I'm doing at National Liberty Alliance, is where I got to have my time in. So people will discover and decide what they want to do. But each federal, whoever that person is, should have their fingers on the pulse of their county, I mean of their federal districts. Okay, and they should be communicating with other people to know what's going on in the other federal districts. We really want to work as one. We don't want to be divided. We want to be as one. But because their federal districts are operating as under federal districts, they need to know how many committees of safeties are going on. And they should know, hey, we got seven counties in our federal district, and we got three counties in this federal district, and two in that one, and one in that one. We got 12 or 15 committees of safeties moving through the process. So they make the report to you. Meanwhile, we will have a registry where the people who are doing the committee of safety can register themselves so people can see, hey, there's already a committee of safety, I'll join that one. So we don't duplicate our efforts. People need to know that there is one. And then people who want to join one, how do I join the committee of safety? Well, go to this page here, look up your state, look up your county, and if there's one there, just make the call, get connected. If there's not, then work with others to get one started. And that's how we will bring people together to organize, communicate, and so on. Anything else, Jan?
Yeah, there's also a district leaders and state coordinators column. One of them should probably be redundant then.
I think all hands on deck doing what we're doing right here. Thursday, we should be meeting on Thursday, every member, every person, everybody, all hands on deck. Let's build up our communities. Work on the grassroots level. Organize, get the people going, get them talking, getting problem solving and everything else. Meanwhile, looking for people who are interested to fill the positions as administrators for the common law grand juries and the trial juries and so on. But look, at we all need to be doing this. I spoke with Carl, for instance, and they are still doing things on the court, committee group. And, and he said to me, is it okay to continue on Wednesday? And I said, well, yeah, if you got some business and you need to do whatever you got to do, do it. But let's not overburden the people. All the people that are going to the Wednesday call should also understand that they really need to be at the Thursday call also. So if they got that kind of time, fine. But we also can try to keep these meetings short and really just pass a lot of good information. And then we can move from one committee to another. Okay, do we have the chairman for the court committee here today? Anything you want to talk about? Oh, yeah, this, that, and the other thing. You do a little bit of their business, get it done, keep it short and sweet, move on, and pass it to the next committee chair. Committee chairs, if they have something they want to talk about, they should get in touch with Jen, and we'll give them time on the Monday night call. We should informing the people and telling the people. We got the welcoming committee. We got the sheriff's committee. We got the courtroom committee. We got a few other committees. So they need to be somewhat active, but I'll tell you, what's more important than anything else is preparing for the emergency, getting committees of safeties, grassroots, working things out, talking to people, planning, and getting ready for the worst-case scenario. And let's kick their rear end when they try to come out after us. We will survive, and we will come out on top. They won't dare come out after us if we can organize good enough. Anything else, Dan?
Nope, that's it.
Any other national leader that would like to pipe anything in particularly? Gerard, you got anything? Gary, anybody else with a question? Comment, thought, idea, anything? Other than that, I'll move over to the Q&A. Okay. All right. If you want to pipe in as we go, we can fit you in. But anyway, we'll go to the first caller. We're going to keep it short and focused. Jeremiah from California, go right ahead. You got the mic. Last call, Jeremiah from California, 415. You got the mic. You've been unmuted.
Hey, thanks a lot. I was just finding my mute button. Found it. Thanks for taking it. Basically, I made some notes, and I wanted to ask you about the Committee of Safety, of course. And because that's what you want to talk about, so that makes me have to think more local here. And you did mention some stuff about the local, so I wanted to ask you what you thought about the judges having an oath, because they have to have an oath, because in California, in order for a final report that a grand jury delivers to a judge.
Well,
my question is,
it's
kind of important, John.
Okay,
I mean, this is about the Committee of Safety, and it really means a lot to me, I appreciate it. Just give me that latitude, and I think you'll appreciate what I have to say.
Thank you.
It's basically that the report itself depends on how judges apply laws governing the selection of grand jurors, right? That's California law. But if the judge has no oath, then this, how do we select the grand juries? You see, who would be the next in line? Well, it would have to be the parties, the people.
That's a grand jury question, but I'll quickly respond a little bit to that because we want to be focused on the business at
hand. Go ahead.
But what you're talking about basically is it's not going to be their job no more. We're taking that away from them. That's, look it. You cannot give to the government total control of the court. They control, they come in as judges, they make decisions, they make summary judgments, which they have no authority in the common law to do so. So they make summary judgments, they put people in jail, they find them contempt of court, they do all these decision-makings, they get rid of, they move, give motions to get rid of this, to get rid of that. Of course, they serve themselves and not we the people. And they do all these things, then they come in and they tell the jury how they're going to rule. This is the law, you got to rule, you can't deny it, blah, blah, blah. And then the prosecutor controls that. Again, the prosecutor is an elected individual, you know, the district attorney is anyway, and the people working for him work under him. But he's an elected individual, so you got the government controlling the prosecution, you got the government controlling the grand jury, you got the government controlling the trial jury, you got the government controlling the judge, and you got the government controlling the jail, and the people are done, they're going to jail. You're going to lose. It's rare that you win in court. These people always win, okay? This has got to stop. And who are these people who think that they can say, hey, look, you're facing 20 years in jail. You know, we'll give you a year. Let's make a deal here and so on and so forth. And you know, people, they take that deal all day long. They do not have that authority, and we're not going to let them keep it. It just belongs to the grand jury. So anyway, all that is out the door once the administration is set up, okay? But any more on this subject, let's move it to Monday. Let's stay on the call of emergency. We'll focus
this is
in
about,
on the Committee of Safety.
Okay, no, so focusing...
This is not
go
fair.
Ahead.
This is not
what?
Fair.
What's not fair?
It's,
this is my call time. This is me calling in. He's asking a question.
And I'm on a timer here.
Yeah.
And I would really like to get Committee of Safety. This is a great Monday night call. Your question's great, but I think it's Monday night. It's a Monday night question. And I think that for the courtesy of everybody, we should stay on Committee of Safety.
Obviously, you don't understand anything about home rule. You need to really read. I'm not trying to be rude, but this is rude what you just said.
Okay, look, I really don't want to go here. Everybody, that's it. Do you have anything else?
Fine, man. You want cuffs on? That's fine. Don't listen to people. Whatever, man. I'll talk to you guys later. What's up?
We want to talk with you about these things, but we have a purpose for the meeting tonight, so that's where we want to stay focused. We've already been an
hour.
And we don't want to waste everybody's time. They're here for the emergency.
Well, how about we do this, then? Let me stay on point instead of having to do all of this extra explaining.
What's on point?
And then we'll be over it. You know? I mean, we're talking about the Committee of Safety and going to the sheriff, right? Well, you need to remember that every community is set up differently. Not everyone is the same. Some communities will not want to do what we are doing. Okay, we're going to have to face that. And I'm just getting people prepared. You said this is a preparedness call.
Jeremiah, you're not listening.
That's it. That's my time.
They can do whatever they want. We don't control the Committee of Safeties. We're giving them the tools. We're giving them the principles. And it's up to the people in their own communities to do what they have to do. We have no control over it, nor do we want control over it. But we will give them tons of ideas, and other people like you and other people in on this call and other people that will join us, they will come up with ideas. And if they want to share it around the whole country, they can write up a paper, one-page paper. We'll send it through an approval process with our national leadership to make sure it's appropriate and on point. And it gives an idea, hey, instead of doing things this way, this is how we'd like to do it here in our county. Other people may like to do the same thing. Give us your ideas, because some people have a better way of doing things than others, and that people will change to do a better thing. That's all. So,
I get what you're saying, and it's a very complex issue. So, thanks a lot.
Finish up on your call.
No, I'm done. It's too complex for you guys to be conversating about it like this. It's very complex. You say Monday night's the best night to call. I call on, and I get a limited amount of time then too. How about you give me a call sometime? Can you get my number?
Well, I see your number here, but I am so busy and tied up. If you got some great ideas, look at we got committees here. You know, I get someone who wants to do all this stuff with the sheriffs, and they're telling me this, we got to do that, and they say, listen, why don't you go to the sheriff's committee, get a hold of Robert, give him some of your ideas, get some time with him on the phone, on Skype or on the telephone, and take a big role if you want in the committee and work things out and see how things go there. Everything doesn't come through me, nor should it. I'm trying to get people to handle as much as possible because this isn't about me, and people need to do what they got to do on their own. But I'm here to help people, and we have other people here to help people to get up on their feet, to get knowledgeable of certain things, to get an education, and to organize with others and communicate with others and do what they have to do on a grassroots level, because this is not going to be a national level. And our motto here at National Liberty Alliance, and it's been so since our inception, is that, at some point in time, National Liberty Alliance must decrease and the people must increase. But until people can get up on their feet and have the knowledge and the understanding, we'll do everything we can to give them those tools, to give them that education, to give them that knowledge, and to give them that encouragement. And
is it true that the sheriff is the arm of the state? I want to ask you this. Is it true that the sheriff is the arm of the federal government in the state? Because how are you going to be able to do national organizing and then with the community, the committee of safety, right, and impose on home rule chartered cities and counties? You see,
I'm going to respond to that, and then we're going to move to the next caller, okay? And then
great,
if you want to get
great.
Back into the list, you can come back in again because you're taking a lot of time. But look,
thank you, John, and thank you, everyone else.
You're welcome. The sheriff is not the arm of the state. The sheriff is the chief administrator of his county, and he's responsible for his county. And his job is to make sure that the law is obeyed, particularly by elected and appointed individual. He's to make sure that people receive their due process. He's to make sure that before he receives someone in a prison, that there's been an indictment. Okay, and before he permits anyone to be arrested by some other agency to come into, especially a federal agency, that they need to inform him and show him the necessary paperwork that will allow him to agree, okay, yeah, you've got something here. Let's go down and see Joe. Let's see what's going on here, and let me help you out because I happen to know Joe, and he's a pretty good guy. We haven't had problems with him in our community because we need to know our sheriff if possible. But anyway, however that works out, it's all grassroots. I have no part of that. I am only a part of the facilitator, because National Liberty Alliance is a facilitator of communication, organization, information, and education, and advice. That's all we are. And we don't want to be anything more than that, because then we become them. I'm involved in my community. I have a big say in my community, and I'll be a pusher and a shaker in my community, just like everyone else here on these calls should also. So, okay, 315, first name and state, go right ahead. You got the mic.
We're going to pass. We're just going to listen. I didn't write down the question, but thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Okay, next caller, Rhonda in Washington. Go right ahead.
Hi, this is Rhonda Washington. This may not be attached to the sheriff, but I think it probably is a little bit. Washington State in February passed a House Bill 277-3 that repeals the authority of the county coroner to issue arrest warrants and requires him to prevent findings of an inquest directly to the prosecutor. So it takes away some of their authority. And I'm just wondering how attached to a sheriff is something like that.
Well, look, that's something that has to be straightened out at the local level. But until we, the people, take control of our local level and start to really get people communicating and the sheriff gets understanding on what the law is, let me explain something. A court is made up of a few individuals. What makes up the court? Okay, in a case of a court where it's a criminal action court, when something being dealt with on a criminal level, okay, the players inside the court is the tribunal. That's we, the people. We get all the decision making. We decide whether innocent or guilt, and we decide what the penalty is going to be or what the restitution requirements are. That's the tribunal. The other two officers of the court, and there are only two other officers of the court, and that is the sheriff and the coroner. If there is a body involved, the coroner is there. He's the chief. He's the guy. He's the scientist concerning that situation. And he has the ability to call the grand jury at any given time to say, hey, I've got a situation and I need an indictment. I'd like to come down. I'd like to talk to the grand jury. Make an appointment. He comes down. He makes his case. And the people either agree or disagree, and we move on. Okay. Same thing with the sheriff. Sheriff gets, I want to talk with the grand jury. I have a couple of cases. Okay, come on down, sheriff. They'll meet Wednesday at 9 o'clock. We'll get you right in. Okay. He comes in. He produces his cases. He gets his indictments, or he doesn't, and we move on. And that's how life works. To hell with the rest of these people who think they're going to limit their power and authority because we, the people, gave them the power and the authority. And common law requires a sheriff, a coroner, and a tribunal. It does not require, never did require, a judge. The judge thing came in because the king used to sit in the court. And then he couldn't sit in all the courts, so he sent his representatives, and they were called judges. Okay, and they had all the power and the authority. Remember, there was a battle for this. The king wanted to take control, and the people wanted to maintain control, and it's been a battle. Just like these people want to bring in the law of men, statutes and codes, where the people want the common law, they want the principles of God, they want the law of the governor of the universe. Okay, and this is the battle that's been going on for thousands of years. This is nothing new. We know it. We can look back in history. Now, we did add a magistrate in the court, not a judge. We do not have a judge in a criminal case. We have a magistrate. The magistrate is just the traffic cop. And if we were to go up against the judiciary directly, head on head, there'd be no judge. There would be a sheriff or a coroner running that particular court case. There would be no magistrate. There would be no judge. We don't need a magistrate or a judge, but we have accepted those things here in America. We do have judges for the purpose of equity court, and that's a different thing, and it's civil. It's not criminal, okay? But people over $20, they can move their equity court into a common law court or court of record where they have a jury and judges out.
Okay.
So we'll fix that. We'll help you fix that once we get there. Are lots of problems that people will come to, like what you just brought to us. But once we're in control, you the people at the grassroots level, we the people also at our own grassroots level working together to organize, communicate, and educate and also advise, you would come to us with that problem then, and we will assist you in ways to correct that problem because you'll have the power and the authority to be able to correct that problem at that point in time. But until we get to the other side, we don't have the power to correct those problems. But we can address them, look at them, think about them, but we'll fix them. You know, we're lacking seven sheriffs here in New York State. We have seven counties without sheriffs. There's no constitutional authority for that. Constitution requires the sheriff shall be elected. So we're going to address those issues soon here in New York, but we have to wait until we get to the other side maybe before we address that.
Okay.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. Okay, let's take our next person. Is out of Washington State. Is it Aline? A-L-L-E-N-E. How do you pronounce that?
Well, Aline is my given name, but I go by Allie.
Allie.
It's Allie.
How you doing, Allie? Yeah.
Yes, and I'm just so excited about this committee, but I would like to share with you the 180 to the safety committee from the government side and give you, I'll make it as brief as possible, my little story of what happened in 2005 as an elected official, and I attended basically a committee for safety meeting, only it was called a disaster preparedness meeting. And it was put on by the Washington Military Department Emergency Management Division, the Washington State Department of Health, a group health cooperative, Puget Power, American Preparedness. And it was really interesting because what they had at the table and the people there were elected officials. They had library representatives, fire department, police department, city departments, you name it. Everything in South King County, and it was we met at the Kent Emergency Management Command Center for the South King County or King County area, and it was like a trade show. Oh, got lots of stuff on a community emergency resource team, all the things you can buy. A lot of pass out works. Security systems had booths there. There were federal officials there. They were all there. But the good news, and I don't know if this is being replicated in other places, our real wake-up call here for this was the Nisqually earthquake, to be prepared for 72 hours. So that was in 2001. So in 2005, they pulled this together, and they wanted to coordinate all of the elected officials, government agencies within there, water, sewer, everyone, to keep our utilities, our hospitals, everything going in that critical 24, 48, 72-hour period after it all goes down, whether it be an earthquake, whether it be Mount Rainier, whether it be... Well, they passed out our workbook with a disaster preparedness handbook, and the contents were personal preparedness, prevention, terrorism, biological agents in the community, in the home, weather, and nature. So there was a lot of good information that was passed out there in being prepared and what to do. But again, it was like a trade show. And I went to one of the fellows from the security system and asked him if they'd given any attention to the security in the water districts that were storing the chlorine and the fluoride, which were highly inflammable, dangerous chemicals. He said, he was with the FBI. And he said, well, not to my knowledge. I'll have to check on that, and I'll get back to you. That was in 2005. I'm still waiting for them to get back to me because they've never addressed the storage of those chemicals on water districts.
Allie, one of the problems, of course, it sounds like a business is selling things. We're not here to do that, obviously.
I'm saying on the other side, for the safety committee, they gave good information to the libraries, to the hospitals, and everyone else to know what to do for it. So I was just wanting you to know how our government is doing it with products rather than with knowledge like we are doing it.
Allie. You know, I'm glad you brought up hospitals because I didn't think about that, and that's something that has to be added to our scenario here and our concern. But look, this has got to be run by the people. This has got to be the people's thing. This is our business, you know.
That's what I said. It's a 180 to what we're doing because...
Right. So the key thing, the difference is, and the people are buying into it, there's someone already preparing. I can go home and live my life and do what I got to do because they got it all figured out and they got it fixed. And if they need me, they'll call me during the emergency. So they think, of course, really. They'll call them to go to a concentration camp is what they'll do. But
I think the most important thing here, though, is to be aware that there are people in your community, and they're the ones that you need to connect with because they do have an emergency plan.
We need to shut that thinking down unless the people are controlling it. It's got to be the local people controlling it, and we have to have a say in it. And we're not just talking about the people we elected. No. They have.
Let me tell you, your water and sewer district employees are the people. They are not the politicians.
I agree 100%. That's my point. That's what I'm trying to say. We got to get the people who are the movers and shakers of things. But the control of this has got to be the Committee of Safety. They got to be the controller, the final word, the final say, and now government has to become subservient.
Yeah, but John,
they're not going to be happy about that, but they need
They can't come in and run a water system or a sewer system. They don't have the knowledge and the know-how to do it.
Exactly, but the people running the water system or the electrical grid or the so on and so forth, they have to understand that in an emergency they're going to be listening to us, we the people, the Committee of Safety and the people that we appoint and work with that are part of what we're doing, and they may be individuals that are elected or appointed within our town, and they know certain things or whatever the case may be. The key thing is this, is the controls have got...
So that they're not not regulated by the government, but we're regulated by the people.
Right. All right. Well, we appreciate it. I do agree. We understand that they do kind of have a plan, but the plan takes away the control from the people. In other words, they're going to come in like the Gestapo and tell you go here, you go there, you do this, you do that. By the way, most of you people, you're all going. We have to send you to a different place. We'll send you to a camp so that we can feed you and take care of you. You see, these are the problems we have to make sure doesn't happen.
Yeah, definitely. But I just think that, you know, it's good to know that there are dedicated people that will be looking after these things for the people, that the people need to survive.
I agree. But the people need to be involved. They need to understand that they need to get involved. So this is what we want to get out to them. But okay, appreciate it. Ali, you're absolutely right. There is something there, and we'll tap in as best we can to make that. There's going to be a resistance, and so at certain places you may not be able to do anything until you accumulate enough power and authority and you got the right people working with you. So, but your points are very well taken.
Let's hope we do it sooner than later.
Absolutely, we got to do it now. So the people got to figure this out on their own level. They got to work this out. And we will give them thoughts and ideas, and we may say, hey, look, we were talking with Mary and Mike over here in over this state and this county, and they had the same problem. This is what they'd done. So we'll have them write a paper, a one-page paper. And, you know, this is the topic this was about. This is how we dealt with it. So people have lots of resources and ideas of things that are working for others, so we don't have to reinvent the wheel. Or you might have something better, and you propose it.
Okay, and there's just one other thing that I'd like to share with you. I put a post-it note in my day runner. I don't use an iPhone. And I can't find the flyer on it, but I have noted that on Tuesday, June 7th, there will be 6,000 military guys participating in an emergency test in Idaho, Oregon, Washington, and B.C., it's only 6,000, so, you know, spread it out to that. That's not very big, but I find it really interesting because, you know, we have all this testing going on in Olympic Peninsula, but have you heard anything about that emergency test in those three states in the province of B.C.?
No, but it frightens me to hear those things, you know, again, because we really don't know what's going on. And we don't know, you know, they don't share these things with us, unfortunately, and we just don't know. So, no, but I haven't heard nothing on that.
Well, I wish I could find what I printed out on it, but my papers are, they're a rat's nest right now.
Yeah, okay. Appreciate that.
So thank
okay,
you,
Alan.
Thank you.
Thank
I just
you.
So appreciate everything you guys are doing and how hard you're working at it.
Okay, thank you for your thoughts and ideas. Appreciate it, too.
Yeah, God bless you.
You too. Okay, Ray from Arizona, you go right ahead. You got the mic.
Hello.
Yes, Ray.
Do you hear me?
We can hear you, Ray. Go right ahead from Arizona.
Okay, I've been involved for the last 6 months with what they call a prepper group, and what part of it is to bring the community into to what they call an isolation event in case you lose power or something like that. That people are prepared, and last month we had one on canning and putting your things together, because if you lose electricity, your canned stuff doesn't require it. And this month we had a presentation on from a variety of people on gardens and gardening and how to do this kind of stuff.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
When you had these presentations, did you have someone showing, or did you have videos on this, or what? Because, you know, that's the thing. That's something that people need to gather. Anybody that's got, and I realize now, we have a lot of information. I forgot that we've got up on our website for survival, and we're going to move that over into the Committee of Safety area and get it out there. How to can food, how to store food, how to do this, how to get, you know, there's one thing up there that they have, how to create a fishery that's constantly fed, and you have constant fish all the time in these couple of barrels, and where to get these barrels from, and how to set it up, and it's all self-supporting. It's really kind of an interesting thing. There's lots of different videos, so let's think about that, people. Anybody who knows of these things, let's bring that information. Before we go any further, Gary...
These are done by people,
yeah.
John.
All right. But hold on 1 minute. Gary, the other thing is people that are doing these presentations at meetings, maybe someone should videotape them so that we can share them here. You know, but hold on, Gary, because we want to get activities going. Why don't we try to find somebody who will receive any information that people has concerning these ideas, or maybe a video on how to can food, or how to do this, or how to do that, so that they can be sort of the a receiver of information, and then pull a lot of the things that aren't redundant or duplicating, and then bring it into maybe the national leadership for approval, and then we'll get it up on the website. We'll post it on the website so people can have more information on different ideas and things of that nature. Okay?
Yeah, I'd be willing to believe we probably got people for that. So, yeah.
So find somebody. Let's appoint them. Let's get their name. We'll put a contact name up on the Committee of Safety page, someone to send information and ideas to who will take it before the national leadership to see if we can get it approved to be put up onto the website, anything that's appropriate, and to make sure we don't duplicate. You know, there may be numerous videos on how to can food, and we only need one. We don't need three, you know. So, but go right ahead, caller. Ray, go right ahead. You're back to you. I wanted to just get this.
All of the people that make presentations are of the local community. I live between 6,500 and 7,000 feet, and gardens and all variety of things change with the altitude and the local. The idea is to be totally self-sufficient. If anything falls off, you're able to live for yourself, including sewer, water, the whole thing. And we have videos we take on it, and they're placed on a website.
Right. You know, one of the things we have to realize and think about, and this is something to be discussed by the people in their own communities concerning fuel. You know, in order to deliver electricity and deal with waste and even garbage removal and different things of that nature in an emergency, we have to set something up. And the thing that gives us the biggest shortage is the movement of oil or fuel in order to fuel the vehicles and necessary equipment to give us the electricity and so on. And, of course, then we're going to have to start, limiting how much people will get, and we'll turn certain areas on at certain times or whatever the case. But however that works, this is the people in the community got to figure that out. And I know that they have plans. A lot of this stuff is already executed inside, you know, the plans are inside towns. The problem is that the federal government has interwoven themselves into all of our communities so much that the point is that they will be in control. No. The townspeople need to be in control. It could be the water department, but they need to be in control, answering to the board, who's really answering to the people. So for the water department or the sewage department or whatever the case may be. You see, we need no federal government. We don't need them at all. We, the people within our counties, our own communities, will deal with our problems and share with the communities in other counties next door by trading things back and forth. And, you know, whatever we have, we got to do what we got to do. We got to survive.
That's our motto, though.
There was a series out there, I think it was called Jericho, and where we were hit by a bunch of nukes and people lost contact with each other, and they had to become self-sufficient, and towns had to defend themselves against different groups of people and things that are going on. Now, just imagine if they had all prepared for that kind of an emergency and the people were already in control and understood what they needed to do in that emergency, how much better those things would have worked. And how they would have already had communications with the county next door, who was in a state next to them, and across the nation and communications and so on. It would be so much different. So, but go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, John, I'd recommend the movie also. It's Road Warrior, and I think that we ought to be prepared for that as well. It's not going to be pretty. We have two FEMA camps out here, and one of them has been built already. And the other one's in the process of being built. We don't simply want to end up in one of those places.
Right. So this is why we need to be doing committees of safeties now across America, everywhere, and take control, we the people. Okay, Ray, thank you. I appreciate the call.
You have a good night now.
You too. Ed Voigtthaler, what state are you from, Ed?
Arizona.
How you doing, Ed, from Arizona?
I'm doing good. I have people that were not able to join us tonight. Is there a way they can listen to this later, and how would they do
this,
please?
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. I meant to mention this a couple of times, but I forgot. We are going to post this very call onto our Monday night calls. We're going to date it for today. It'll be a Thursday call mixed in with our Monday calls, and it'll be called an emergency meeting concerning survival and the COS. So something like that. But I'll post that as soon as this call is over. And we'll probably post. We'll probably post this call also. We'll post this call on the Committee of Safety page. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. Okay, next caller, Scott from South Carolina. You got the mic. Go right ahead. Please stay on point, Scott from South Carolina.
Yeah, hang on. I'm getting on to it. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. My computer went off. I just wanted to make a point, John, about the one of the tactics that you were talking about using, a thumb drive. Sheriffs are normally suspicious as part of their job, and for you to hand them a thumb drive to put on their computer, they're not going to do it. I seriously
doubt. Well, they got forensic anyway, and look at the you're there. They know who you are. If there's something fugazi on there, they know who to get and how to get you. Okay. So, but if there's another way to do it, some things should be written. This paper is original, the 35-page paper that we posted, which I might change a little bit in there. There's a few things in there I might go back and change. So just keep an eye on any kind of an update. But that paper should be printed out and given to the sheriff at bare minimum. But look at getting them to the website and hitting up the resources we have here. But you can produce everything on a thumb drive. Most sheriffs, I think, will take it. After all, they know where you live, and utilize it. And those who don't. I mean, if you have another way to deliver it to them, it's a lot of paperwork, to do it a different way. And you can't put a video on paper, so that's another problem. Anything else?
No, that was it. I just wanted to bring that up.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it. Okay, next caller is Fred from California. Go right ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, Fred. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good, sir. I have a very important point to bring up. During Katrina, they marched 5,000 prisoners out into the swamps and put bullets in their heads. There was a black lady congressman, I forget her name, but she brought it up in Congress, and they tried to shut her down, and then they started harassing her, and the next thing you know, she's in her office.
Is that documented?
I've tried to find the documentation, but I could not.
Okay. I don't want to – there's so many evil things going on out there that is documented. We'll work with that. But if anybody can document something like that, we definitely would like to have that documentation, and we will use it in our upcoming cases.
I will scrounge the Internet for it, but I bring that point up for one reason. How many people are in prisons across America? What I'm getting at here is if there is an emergency like you're speaking, it could be across the board genocide. These people didn't go to prison for a death sentence. What we need to do is get with the county sheriff about that. Find out who he can give a sheriff's conditional parole or a sheriff's parole to for nonviolent offenders and let them walk.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you want to type a paper up on these things, and again, one page or less, one page. We don't want any papers more than one page. If it's really an important subject matter and you got to have two, okay. If you want to propose something that people should know, find a nice label, a name for it, get it to the contact individual. We'll be posting the name up on the Committee of Safety page. And they'll take it to the national leadership to see if it's appropriate. But we would post anything unless we absolutely know we got documentation that it's a fact, okay? So that's an important thing that we know, we show that this is a fact. We're not just BSing here. This isn't a conspiracy theory. This is what happened. Here it is. And then we move with that. That also will be added for evidence against these people that we've been collecting.
How do we deal with the private prisons? I think a safety committee should be set up.
Once we get on the other side of things, and there's nothing we could do till we get on the other side of things, there's no reason for any prisons other than the county prison. First of all, prison is not the answer or the solution to problems. Even crimes, it's not the solution or the answer. Look at restitution is the solution and the answer. And going to making the people really understand the injury that they've given to the other person and what the results are and the repercussion to their families or whatever it is that has happened. prison should be for minimum. Look at, I told this story one Monday night. Just basically, I was driving and I was listening to the news, and I heard this story. You know, something happened locally that they caught this guy, and he had killed this woman, put three bullets in her, just killed her, cold-blooded murder. And it just, there was something on the radio, and I realized, wait a second, you know, the Bible tells us if a person takes a life by man, shall his life be taken. So the death penalty is in play. We cannot give the authority of the death penalty to these people that are in control now, but if we get a true court back where the people are in control, death penalty is something that needs to be considered, because what else can you do to somebody that just takes and snuffs out a life like that of just anybody? In this case, it was just happened to be a woman. He raped her and put three bullets in her. People do these kind of things to children, and there's all kinds of things that happen. Murderers need to be dealt with, but, of course, people have to feel comfortable that the people are in charge and not the state, number one. And number two, the juries decide that, not me, not you. Unless I'm on that jury, I might push for something like that. But it's got to be a decision collective by the people. So they'll work that out. But, yeah, look, at for prisons, if someone has to go in prison, there shouldn't be state prisons. There shouldn't be private prisons. There's the county jail, and it's local, and the family can visit, and things can happen if it's necessary to incarcerate someone. In most cases, if you had to really make sure that these people stick around, you could put a ring on them and monitor them. Jails aren't a necessity, per se. You know, it costs money to begin with, and state prisons and federal prisons just don't even make sense.
Sir, I did not want to detract from the Committee of Safety. I know we're on a special thing, but that's why I brought this up, to avoid mass murder.
Right.
That's my point. That was my
I agree. If you can get documentation on that, and that is something, if you want to write a paper on that, that people need to be aware of, awareness paper, you know, and we'll put it up if the national leadership approves it and feels it's appropriate. Okay.
I will write something up. Who do I submit it to? Jan?
No, we're going to have a name on a... Gary, how long do you think it'll take to find someone who will take on this service for us?
I don't think that one's going to be hard for the food, you know, food.
So maybe in the next day or two we might have a name up there. By Monday, let's say, the latest, we should have a name up there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we'll have a contact individual for that. It'll be on the Committee of Safety page, contact for submitting ideas, thoughts, and papers. Okay.
All right, sir. And by then, I hope to have all the proof you want.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to our next person, Kenny from Georgia.
Real quick.
Yeah, go right ahead, George.
Yeah, listen.
Hey, John.
Can you hear me,
John?
Kenny? Yeah, Kenny, hang on 1 minute. Gerard wants to make a statement. Hang on, Kenny. Go ahead, Gerard.
Just two quick things, and I've been in and out of the meeting and had a hard trouble hearing, so... Forgive me if somebody's already mentioned this, but number one is anybody that is active in their local town with their town boards and stuff, they should draft, and maybe we could do this ourselves, draft up a resolution on the town level. And what that resolution is to say is that the town reserves the right to hold all their resources for them first, that no arm of the government or anything can come in and take the local resources away from the local people, and that the local people would decide at what point that they share their resources. Now, and that's a town resolution, and that's very powerful, because when a town passes something by resolution, it's the same as if the state legislator passes it. It's called a home rule law. So, if you
know, one of the things we might want to do, for instance, if you can find a title for that resolution, maybe people should submit ideas for resolutions that towns and people should, you know, people should consider, and then we put the resolution in a paragraphical form, put it on a notepad, and name the resolution, whatever it is, so people can go through it, and we'll create a list of potential resolutions that people can consider in their committees. Again, all the tools and information we can give people and ideas we can give people to take back control, because what you just said is extremely important. And we have brought this up in the past, too, I believe, where, look, at first order of business is the resources need to go to the county, and any surplus then could be utilized to move to other counties and vice versa, so we become a bartering system, ultimately. Hey, we got beef up here in this we got a lot of cattle and beef up here. You know, we have, for instance, a slaughterhouse up in where I go to get my meat. I go up to is it Columbia? Let me think. Yes, yeah, Columbia County. So I go up to Columbia County to buy my beef. You know, I don't know if we even have a place where they got cattle grazing and where they do beef in Dutchess County. But we can get beef up there, and we can have something else down here. And the surplus could be traded, but go ahead.
And every community has resources. Even in the city, they have resources. They might not have beef, but they got lots of tanks of oil, and they got other stuff that we can use in the country. The country can feed them, and they need to protect those resources for themselves. They probably have more fuel oil than they need, you know what I mean, that they can share and they can barter with. So keep that in mind. The other thing is every single Walmart and every single Lowe's is a potential FEMA camp. You look at how they're built. They have a garden center with a high fence with barbed wire on the top. The building itself has no windows, very high walls. They're already working in them. So just be aware that those big box stores can become prisons very easily. Now, my suggestion is that if you're working with a committee of safety and you have a tight community, you use those things in order to incarcerate the wrongdoers. You know, turn it around. Think outside the box. You know, these guys are coming in. The Homeland Security has bought, I don't know how many million, billion rounds of hollow point 40 caliber ammunition. Well, you know what? My answer to that is go out and buy a 40 caliber pistol or rifle or whatever. You know, you'll never run out of ammo. So just think outside the box and the whole thing. Oh, and the other thing with the resolutions is once a town passes a resolution, you can march that thing from town to town. And when you go to the town, you say, well, Argyle has already passed this resolution. We're bringing it to you. We want you to pass it. When you get a resolution like that that gets passed from town to town to town, you know what happens. The legislators, the state legislators, and the other bigger politicians start paying attention because it's a message to them, and it's very powerful. So don't ever underestimate the power of a town board to make a local resolution and then carry it from town to town, and they all pass the same resolution. It needs to be written very well, and then it needs to go from town to town. And that just the fact that you have something like that in black and white will keep people from rioting. When they see things that are written in the law that they can defend and that they can lay down on, it makes things much better. You know, when instead of chaos, now you have a direction. Oh no, that stuff is supposed to go here. Look it, we have a resolution that says that. I'm telling you, it's powerful stuff. You can stop people. You can stop even soldiers with that stuff.
Let's plan on people writing ideas for resolutions. Maybe Gerard, if you could write that kind of a resolution up, keeping it short and sweet. But you know, an insert. You know, when I write papers, I have developed a sort of a directory of. I created a list of topics. I got a topical information file, and I give any of my research on any particular item, whether I'm looking at what is common law, what is a court of record, anything to be defined or appreciated in a way, what is the authority for this, what is the authority of that. I try to give it a title, and I put it onto a notepad, and then I put it in a file. And so when I'm writing my papers, I've already researched this, I can pull it out and put it in. And this is what we need to do with resolutions. A good resolution, a good idea, here it is, here's the topic, and we'll put it in a file, and we'll put it out there, and people can take that file and utilize it and curtail it around however they want to curtail it, but at least the idea is there. And it gets people stimulating on brainstorming on these things and realizing, okay, yeah, this is what we really got to do, you know. This is what's going to help us and save us. So. All right, anything else, Gerard?
No, I'm done. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. All right, let's go to back to Kenny now, Georgia. I'm going to start pushing this because it's going on 11. I never intended to go this long, and I want to come to an end, and there's a few people in the queue, so I'm going to push this quick. Keep it short and sweet. Kenny, what do you got?
Hey, John, how you doing? Quick question. Good. Where is all the Committee of Safety stuff on the website?
If you go to nationallibertyalliance.org and you look on the blue bar all the way to the right, you'll see Committee of Safety. It's the last, next to the last one. Committee
okay,
of Safety
so
and members.
It's not under the menu.
While no, I'm it's right on the blue bar. You'll see it right on the blue bar.
Okay.
You see welcome, news, education, free courses, all the way over to then Committee of Safety and members.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm actually in the middle of adding something, so it may disappear for like a second. But
yeah, I've been having problems getting into there. So,
well, I'm looking on my phone, so all I see is the menu and the donate button. So I'll have to get on the computer and look at it. I appreciate it,
probably,
though.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
all
it's
right.
There. So.
Thank you.
Carl, are you close to being able to put together a page on what we need?
Yeah, I'm actually really close. I'm just
right.
Changing the
tomorrow
menu.
Sadly, on it, okay.
Yeah, I'm actually changing it right now, so just
okay.
Give me a moment.
I appreciate it. All right, meanwhile, let me push to the next call. If you want to pipe in and say something, just do so, but meanwhile, we'll move on. We got Montana Dan. Go right ahead. We want to keep it short because we want to close down. And again, this call will be posted on a Monday night page. It'll be called the Thursday Emergency Meeting, and it'll also be posted on the Committee of Safety page as an MP3 for people to listen to. Go right ahead, Dan.
Okay, this might be a topic for a different time, but I'm recently got appointed to a rural fire board district, and I was wondering if that's an appropriate place for the resolution you're talking, or does it need to be a county commission or a city council?
No, the resolutions need to be done by the committees of safety. They need to take authority in their counties and take control. The towns may be doing a lot of good things. The problem is they're giving up their authority to the federal government. That's the big cord that needs to be cut.
Okay.
And this is the battle and the uphill battle we're going to have with these people. Meanwhile, if we have to take it all away from them, let's take it all away from them and let's do what we got to do. But you'll have to figure out how to do that. And people who execute that kind of a situation or on that kind of a problem, I'm sure they'll write something up and tell us what they did to fix the problem. And people will have ideas on what they may be able to do. But anything else, Tanner?
Okay, so the resolution needs to come through the Committee of Safety, not the county.
Absolutely. Well, the towns do their own resolutions also, but look, we're the people we need to prepare and take care of and take control ourselves. Okay, so yes, it needs to come through us.
Okay, and then maybe another time I could talk to somebody, but there's some corruption on the district board, and who do I give the affidavit to outlining the violations?
Well,
the sheriff? County attorney or...
Yeah, you're not going to get much of any place, but you can try. I would go talk to... If you see a law being broken and you think it needs to be fixed, go talk to your sheriff. It's going to be
okay.
Difficult, though, because most of them are ignorant. They'll tell you to go talk to the prosecutor. I personally wouldn't even bother at that point because I know the prosecutor is in the game. He's going to make a few phone calls and protection system's going to be set up and you're just going to get yourself frustrated. I hate to tell you that, but that's what I feel.
Okay.
We need
all
to
right,
get to
you.
The other side. We need to do everything we can. To the side.
Okay,
Dan,
thank you.
All right. Next person, Jan from Kansas. Let's make it quick because I want to get to the end of this thing.
This is just a little piece of information for the committees of safety. That in 2014, my mother, who owned... She is deceased now, but she owned a small heritage farm, and I received on her behalf from the Department of Agriculture, a very long survey that asked as far, it drilled down as deep as asking what tools we owned, what water was on the property, where water congregated, where the wood was, where the wood piles were. It was just like they were mapping out. They wanted to know where everything was and what kind of tools we owned and that kind of thing, in addition to other things. But I just wanted to put that out there, that that's how nosy they're getting with what each individual owns. That's it.
Okay, appreciate that. Yeah, that is a problem. So, and
yeah.
Again, you need to discuss that with your Committee of Safety and fix that problem. Okay.
Okay.
Next caller, Jen from MI. Is MI, is that Missouri or Michigan? That's Michigan.
I'm ready.
Huh?
Okay, go ahead, Ronald.
Am
hey,
I at Michigan?
Yes. California.
Link to me, Ron. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, John, I heard you earlier talking about how to go talk to the sheriff. Where I live at, I don't know anybody in L.A. who's near my where I live at that can go with me to go talk to my sheriff. My sheriff is impossible to talk to.
Well, what you need to do is establish the Committee of Safety, get people involved. They'll be coming out to our website, connecting as best they want to do with us. The thing is you need to connect with the people in your neighborhood, in your county, and then go talk to the sheriff collectively. The sheriff will listen. If you come in with the Committee of Safety and you come in as a group and with authority, organized, and he'll talk to you. And what the best way to deal with him at that point is to invite him down to the meeting of the Committee of Safety. You know, I would say first order of business is to try to just make a short meeting. Say, hey, Sheriff, I'd like to get maybe 5-10 minutes of your time. We're with the Committee of Safety, blah, blah, blah. And set a date and say, well, look, I'd like to, prior to the meeting, I'd like to send you this paper of information on the power and the authority of the sheriff. I'd appreciate it if you take a look at this. Can I email that to you? Do you want me to mail it to you? Can I drop it off at your office? And this way, you'll have that before the meeting, and then you can talk about what's on that. Your key concern is him understanding the law and upholding
well,
it. That's your concern.
The next time
you have a meeting might be, let me just finish this one other point. The next time, what you might want to do, and there's lots of ways to do this, is invite him down to come to you guys at the next Committee of Safety and make sure that that Committee of Safety is focused around the sheriff and the need to work with your sheriff and all the stuff necessary for that focus. But go ahead.
The document that NLA sent the sheriff, that was the informational document, on my behalf, because I was removed from my house. I'm homeless. I'm using a friend's house right now to talk to you. I'm homeless.
Okay.
I was instructed to call the sheriff and try to get a hold of him. My sheriff.
Oh, okay. This is for something we're doing with you. You lost it to a mortgage company, maybe.
Right.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about that on another time. Really, you know, we try to have some meetings. I don't know whether we're going to have a Tuesday meeting. If we do, we'll announce that on Monday. But maybe that meeting should go anyway, whether I'm there or not, and people can just talk about their situations to each other and get some thoughts and ideas. But I can't be, you know, run a Tuesday meeting, you know, concerning this every week, but I'll do it occasionally. We'll see what we can work out with a place where you go to talk to people. Okay?
All right.
Thank you. Okay, next, Terry from New Jersey. And I want to close down in the next 4 minutes, so please let's make it short.
Real quick. Story about the 5,000 prisoners in Katrina, the person who was involved in making that allegation was Cynthia McKinney. And if you type in Cynthia McKinney and Katrina, you can come up with that story. And also on YouTube, there's a video of her making those accusations. Now, this is almost 10 years old. But I don't know if there's any truth to it. But, you know, she's a very serious person, so I would take it seriously.
Okay. Anybody that can find this information by doing that, get it to me. And, again, you'll get it to the information person that will be posting on the website, and we'll take a look at the documentation for that. Okay, appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Terry. Okay, next individual, Shannon, is it, from Indiana?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep, go right ahead.
Okay, this is actually Becky, Shannon's wife. My husband is in jail. But concerning the safety committee, are you looking for things like essential oils that you could make yourself from dandelions and things like that are medicinal to help with diabetes for some people? Rain barrels?
Well, those are nice. Those are good ideas. And again, you know, I realize now we do have a lot of information on our website with those kind of things. We may not have what you're talking about, but we do have it there. And I will try to have that moved over to the Committee of Safety page, and we'll put an appropriate title to it where people can have things that they can prepare for themselves for municipal... how would you say that word?
Medicinal.
Medicinal, okay, concerns, and
you know, life straws, making your own distillery, bartering items, that type of thing. I wasn't sure if that's what you were looking for.
Well, that's an area we need to make a list of and post. And by the way, I did find the video on Cynthia McKinney revealing 5,000 executed post-Katrina. But others should do some research, you know, to see if we can get serious documentation on this. Words on a video may not be enough, but I do know that she's, I believe she's a congresswoman or something, isn't she? If I recall, or something. But anyway, okay.
I just have one last question. I'm so sorry.
Sure.
And I'm new to this, so if I'm repeating, I apologize. But I think it's very important to maybe make a plan with your kids if something should happen when your kids are in school. I know I've done that with my daughter. That's my biggest fear. We have a FEMA camp right down the road. So that might just be something to check into also.
That's something people might want to think about. Again, if we get control of our community and we know we're going to keep the feds out, we don't have to worry about these camps. As a matter of fact, the community could take those camps over and use them more appropriately and knock down the barbed wire fencing and that kind of stuff. But okay, thank you. Appreciate it. All right. Next caller, Derek from North Carolina. This will be our last caller, last person in the queue. We're taking no more callers. It's 11 o'clock, and we've gone too long. Derek from North Carolina, go right ahead.
Yeah, someone was asking a question about where to take those complaints.
Okay.
Take them to the State Industrial Commission. I don't know what it's called in every state. In North Carolina, it's the Industrial Commission. That's where you take a complaint against a public official.
Okay, people can try that, and maybe they can get some satisfaction. Don't know, but I wouldn't bank too much on it, and let's focus in on getting to the other side. And on the other side is courts of justice controlled by we, the people, under the principles of the governor of the universe. Okay, with that ends our program. Appreciate everyone coming. Let's take this serious. Let's everybody get some committees of safeties going. I want to hear starting Monday and every Monday, hey, I got a committee of safety going in this county. Let's get them registered on the site so other people in your counties could know that is already in motion and they'll tap in and connect and get things going. With that, have a good evening. God bless all. We'll see you on Monday's call, and we'll take it from there. Thank you. Good night.